Well, glory be to God. I've got a whole slew of notes, and I don't know that I'm going to get to them today. And the Lord prompted me to share this. I used to share it every Sunday. I haven't shared it in a while. Why am I here? Why am I standing before you today? Why? Well, I believe in 2 Peter 1:12 says, "So I intend always to remind you about these things, although indeed you know them and are firm in the truth that you now hold." I believe you all should be firm in the truth of the Word. I think it right, me, Todd, I think it right as long as I am in this tabernacle, this tent, this body, to stir you up by way of remembrance. That's part of what I do. You know, religion went by the wayside with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. We are about relationship. Jesus came and died so that you could have relationship with God. Not through external rituals, washings and cleansings and sacrifices of animals and bulls and goats and doves. No. He came and died and shed His blood so you could walk right up to the throne room of God and say, "Daddy, Father." I like to get this image of just walking right up to Him and sitting in His lap. I love that image. That is the image I have. And that is the God that I serve. That is the God that you serve. Not some distant being sitting on some cold throne somewhere out beyond the reaches of the universe. Guess where He resides? Right inside of you. And you have access to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ that died for you. So that's why I'm here. Part of why I'm here. Pastor is just a shepherd. I'm just a shepherd boy like David out in the fields tending his flock. And I'm here to stir you up. I want to stir you up each and every Sunday. Stir you up to go deeper with God, to go beyond where you are now, to go higher with Him each and every week. Say something, share something from God, share His Word to impact your life so that you can go out and impact others' lives. Amen? So I hope today, and I believe, and I hope you agree, that what we share today will impact your life in a way that will bring change, will bring clarity, will bring a renewed faith, a renewed energy for the things of God, a renewed boldness to testify of the things of God. It'll just renew you. It'll restore some things in your life. We talked earlier about fear of rejection. I believe there's an anointing to bring restoration to souls that have been rejected time and time again throughout their life. That's what the Word will do. It will restore some things in your life that you thought, and I love this when Pastor Brian shared this. He was talking about having faith for a change. And these were things you thought could never change. But He's a God that brings life to dead things. So He can restore your life. No matter how deep that root is within you, the love of God can pluck it up and remove it. I remember when I first got born again, I've shared this before, I was listening to Tony Cromer introduce me to Russ Taff. Anybody know who Russ Taff is? And there was one song that he sang, and I can't remember the exact lyrics, and I don't even know if these lyrics are in, but this is what it imparted to me. And I would hear that song, and I'd say, Lord, if there's anything inside of me that is not of you, just rip it out of me. I mean, I was violent about it. Rip it out of me, because I don't want it. Take it from me. And that's what the Word of God can do. It can restore you and remove things that need to be removed, no matter how deep rooted they are. No matter how deep rooted that seed of rejection is in your life. He can restore hope, life, belief. Amen? And I love that, what he said. Faith for a change. Faith for a change. I believe this is a great church of faith. Christian Growth Center is a great church of faith. We believe in faith. Faith in His Word. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that God sent His Son to die for us. Faith that we can have healing in our bodies. Faith that we can be delivered out of the snare of the fowler. Faith that we have authority in this world to speak to things. Like Wanda was sharing in class today. We have authority in the New River Valley as born again believers. And she was talking about speaking to a storm and that storm. I mean, look, this isn't fantasy. These are recordings in the Word of God that Jesus performed that we can do and we can have. We can have authority in this earth. Authority in this New River Valley. Authority over the children of all the schools that we pray for every week. Yes. We can have all of that. I love what Pastor Brian said too. He said, CGC is an... No, he didn't. I said that. He said... he said... It was good, though. He said, significant change is coming. He said the atmosphere or the level of expectation, change is coming. And then he said this, and it really resonated with me. He said sustained change. Sustained change. Now, I didn't take that to mean constant change. I took that to mean when the change comes, the result will be sustained by that change. Amen? And then I said CGC is an agent for radical change in your lives and in the lives that we impact as individuals. Did y'all know that you're a vessel of impact? That you're to be impacting lives wherever you go? Wherever you go. Whether it's in the workplace. These are two of Nikki's co-workers, by the way, that are visiting us today, Lindsay and Becca, past co-worker, one of them. Impacting lives, changing lives, sharing the love of God wherever we go. Understanding that that perfect love of God casts out all fear, no matter what fear they're facing. We know, as born-again believers, that when we talk to them, when we witness to them, when we share our lives with them, when we break bread with them, that perfect love can cast out any fear out of their life. No matter what they're dealing with. No matter what's coming against them. That perfect love of God can cast out that fear. Pastor Brian said, we're a house of growth of followers and disciples of Christ. I'm just reminding you of some points that I took away from last week. A house of growth of followers and disciples of Christ. Christ, a breath of exuberance. I think you need to get an image in your mind about what that is and what that means to you. You are a breath of exuberance. A breath of exuberance. Wherever you go, you are a breath of exuberance. And then I particularly love this one. Y'all going to love it too. He said, if you're gifted and anointed, if you are gifted and anointed, and no one else is doing what you are gifted and anointed to do, guess what?
Do it.
Do it. Do it until God raises up someone else that you know is supposed to come alongside of you and maybe eventually take over for you. But if you are anointed and gifted to do it, and you don't see anyone else doing it, then do it. Do it. Amen? Those were all the high points I put down. Anybody else remember anything that he may have said that impacted you? I believe he is gifted and anointed, Pastor Brian, and it probably won't be the last time you see him. I'm sure he'll make his way back down to his roots here, and he loved being here. I just wanted to share that with you. He told me, he said, man, that's a fabulous church. Your people are wonderful. He loved being here. He loved it. He loved it. He felt welcomed. I'm glad he did. Listen, we don't need a new gospel or a new God. We just need to go deeper with what we have. Right? I mean, when you hear people talk about, oh, God's doing a new thing. He's not doing a new thing. There's nothing new under the sun. We're changing. And we are getting more aligned with the image of Jesus Christ. That's what's the new thing is. It's us, the change within us. And Pastor Brian said we need to have faith for a change. Faith for a change. And I took that as within ourselves. We need to have faith that we ourselves can change. We can overcome. We are more than conquerors. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We need to have faith for that. And then as a body of believers, we need to have faith that CGC, there's change happening at Christian Growth Center. The way that I'm not going to get into that right now. I don't think. He's not changing, but we are more and more into the image of Jesus. And change is good. Because doesn't the word say that even Jesus grew in wisdom and stature? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Is good enough for you. Amen? Amen? Isn't that right? Does anybody know what today is? What else today is? Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Does anybody know what happened on Palm Sunday? Yeah. What was he riding on? Riding on a donkey. I miss my donkey. I miss Amos. He was a beautiful Mediterranean donkey. Had the cross on his back. Y'all know, have you ever seen a Mediterranean donkey? They have the black lines that go down their back and across from shoulder blade to shoulder blade. It was a gift. He was a gift. But somebody didn't like my donkey. I had to give my donkey away. But my donkey's doing well. I see pictures of him every now and then. And I didn't. All right, I'm gonna move along. Riding on a donkey, they spread out palm leaves, palm trees before him. Praising Jesus. They thought he was going to set up the kingdom. I'm going to go back to my donkey. Palm fronds. There are palm trees. They didn't lay the whole tree out, okay? The palm frond from the tree. That donkey would have been stepping over them trees. I told you there was a spirit of joy in the house. I think there's a heat wave too, though. Or maybe I'm just getting embarrassed. Whew. A little red behind the ears. But I mentioned that Palm Sunday, right? That was his supposed to be what they envisioned his triumphant entry being. That he was going to come and set up his kingdom at that time. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I was going to go and talk about why it didn't happen and why Israel is in the state that it is now and who we are through Israel and because of Israel. And that was what I had planned out, but I just don't sense that we're going to go in that direction today. But what I want to say about Palm Sunday and understanding the holidays that we celebrate, how many know what next week is? What is it? Oh, yeah, y'all better. I heard some. I guess I'm going to have to give my standard Easter message about the history of that name and why we here don't like to call it Easter. But Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. So let me just put a plug in. Let me just say this, and that was off the cuff, but this is serious. There is something, and the same thing about Christmas time. There is something about those days, those dates that we recognize. There is something that happens in the realm of the Spirit, I believe. And it softens the hearts of people. And I'm talking about people that don't have relationship with God. There is something about those dates. And I believe, I've got my what I believe and why. But there is something about those days and those dates that soften the hearts of people. And I know it's cliche-ish, but it is a perfect time to talk to people about the things of God, to talk to people about Jesus, to testify and to witness to people. And it's a perfect time to, if you're not comfortable with doing that, inviting them to church. And I don't say that because I want a full house on Resurrection Sunday, but there is something about it. There is something about it. I believe something happens in the realm of the Spirit that impacts their hearts, that softens that ground. And it's probably all the prayers that have gone forth, because we believe that, we prepare the ground of the heart through prayer. But there's something about it. So I just want to say, next week we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. So I would just give you a homework assignment, if I could do that. A faith assignment. Let me give you a faith assignment. Invite someone. Or at least talk to somebody. At least share with somebody. Because it will be received. Because there's something different about these times. So I encourage you to do that for next week. Invite somebody. Bring somebody. I'll go get Amos. You can ride in on Amos with him. But there is something about these days. But I want to talk about, labeling these holidays too. I mean, Palm Sunday, we all understand why we celebrate. But if you haven't figured it out by now, here at Christian Growth Center, we're not about religion. We're not about religion. We're about relationship. We believe in relationship with God, not religion. That's why I don't dress in robes and the fairs. What? You saw me up here in a bathrobe or something, didn't you? But that's what the Pharisees did, right? They walked around all dressed up. They were about religion. It was about religion. They were confident in their religion, in their works. If they prayed this much during the day, if they sacrificed these things at these times, if they did all this, all the laws and ordinances, then they had that gave them right standing with God. But we are about relationship. We have relationship with God. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us right standing with God, and the blood of Jesus alone. Doesn't matter what we wear, what we dress like. When it... Within reason. There is a thing to be said for modesty. I will say that. Amen. Where am I going with all of this? I told you last time I should stick to my notes, right? But we're not about religion. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And I want everybody to understand that you can have a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus no matter what has happened in your life. Amen. Listen to this. Nothing that you have done disqualifies you. Nothing you have ever done in your life disqualifies you from relationship with God. Because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. His blood was shed for you. He redeemed you back to God through His shed blood. And nothing you have ever done disqualifies you. You need to understand that. Because you are being held back by yourself. God has something wonderful in store for you, and you are holding yourself back because you feel disqualified. Because you feel unworthy. Because you feel you can't. Well, I want to tell you, you can. And you will. Amen? So why don't we get all dressed up on certain days? Well, Romans 14:5 says this, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his mind." So we don't judge other people for what they do, how they celebrate. I'm not saying that. But you need to be fully convinced in your mind what days you esteem above another, or whether you esteem every day alike. Amen? Let me just pray for a second. Father, I thank you that we can come before you with a clean heart because of the blood of Jesus. So right now, I just bind the enemy in people's minds right now that are, he's trying to distract them. He's trying to bring up past things that they've done. Past occurrences. He's trying to attack their mind right now so that you could steal this word from them. So I bind the enemy in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, that all distractions will be removed, all thoughts will be cast down, and that the word of God will pierce our hearts and take root in the fertile ground of our hearts. Today, right now, as we share your word, so be it. So be it. So why are we talking about Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, or better known around the world as Easter Sunday? Because we do it out of remembrance. Remembrance of what Jesus did, what He accomplished, all that He accomplished in His life. And I'm here to tell you that all that He accomplished was good enough. In fact, when He went to the cross, when He died, He said, "It is finished." And what that means to you and me is everything that we have need of, He gave to us that day when He shed His blood, gave His life, and said it was finished. We have everything that we have need of in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. But you have to be in Christ. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. You have to want Him to be not only your Savior, but your Lord. I believe I'm trying to encourage you today in these things so that you can share and prepare for next week. That we can keep it in the forefront of our minds just why we celebrate such holidays as these. Y'all know the statistics just as much as I do. The two highest attended days in church are Christmas and Easter Sunday. Why is that? Come on, that is not by coincidence. There is something in the realm of the Spirit that it says God's the one that draws men in. There is something drawing them. And how sad it is that the majority of those people only come on those 2 days. But we as a body, you as individuals, and this is not meant to belittle the things of God, but you need to, and I say it this way, take advantage of that. You do. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just like having youth, you know. You feed the youth, they'll come. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as they're getting the Word of God and a slice of pizza. Bagels. Yeah, I mean, y'all, they feed y'all well back there, don't those kids? So I'm just saying this to encourage you, to stir you up, okay? I said I was stirring you up. I want to stir you up in these things. I want to stir you up in inviting people to church again. When's the last time anybody's invited someone to church? When's the last time anyone's talked to someone about Jesus? Other than Joe. I want to stir you up in these things again. I mean, this used to be a common practice amongst believers. They would greet each other in the streets. Maranatha. He is risen. Yes. I want to stir you up in these things. Put you in remembrance of these things. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a church that just comes together every Sunday, doesn't understand the anointing on the music, hears some good songs, and goes home and forgets everything that was said. And like I've told you before, I don't care if you remember everything. One thing. Grab hold of one thing. One word. Just grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. Hold on to it. Do something with it. One thing. I don't get up here and talk as long as Pastor Brian does, so it should be a little bit easier for you to grab hold of one thing. Well, glory to God. I think I do want to touch on this now. I didn't feel released to, but now I do. Talk a little bit more about Israel and in the history of Israel. It's key to understand. From a historical perspective and from a spiritual perspective, just who Israel is. Why Israel? You know, who are they? What do they do? What do they mean to us? And I did a fact check. I have to, what do they call it when you have to take something back? Retract. I got to retract some. I did a fact check. The nation of Israel is actually smaller than the state of New Jersey. for you that, yeah, I don't care. Who cares? Just trying to put it in perspective, right? Israel. You hear about the nation of Israel. If you watch the news, I'm not going to ask how many watch the news. If you watch the news at all, CNN, I don't care, Fox, it don't matter what news network. I guarantee, there isn't a day that goes by that Israel isn't in the news some way, shape, or form. I could almost guarantee that. Why? Why is this tiny little sliver of land in the Middle East always talked about? Always talked about. The conflict in the Middle East. Why? Well, because they are God's chosen people. And the world is coming against the things of God constantly. The enemy is out to destroy, to wipe out the people of God. That is the enemy's. He comes to what? Kill, steal, destroy. That's his purpose. And so Israel is not exempt from that. They are God's chosen people. The oracles of God were entrusted to them. The Bible says those that bless them will be blessed. So we as a nation, United States, that's why we stand with Israel. People may not understand that. They may not know why. If you're not born again, they don't have a clue. Why we stand with this little sliver of land in the Middle East. But they are God's chosen people. They are the olive branch of the true olive tree. And that's kind of what I just wanted to go into, a little background of why the church considers and it can say that they are the sons of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? God cut covenant with Abraham. The Hebrew people, the Jewish nation was born. Isaac, Jacob. Everybody knows the story. Jacob wrestled with God that night. And God changed his name to what? Israel. Israel had 12 sons. The 12 tribes of Israel came out of those 12 sons. The tribe of Judah, Judah was one of Israel or Jacob's son, is where Jesus came from, through the lineage of David, King David. Remember when God said, your throne will be exalted forever, talking to King David? It's because the Messiah, Christ, came from the lineage of David, and one day he will set up a kingdom that will rule and reign forever. And guess what? I'm going to be there with him, reigning and ruling. And if y'all believe in Jesus, you are too. Amen? So they were the olive tree. We are the wild olive branches that have been grafted into the olive tree. How do we know that they are the olive tree? Chapter 1, verse 16 says this: "The Lord acknowledged you once to be worthy to be called a green olive tree, fair and of good fruit. But with the roar of a great tempest, he will set fire to it, and its branches will be consumed. For the Lord of hosts who planted you," the Lord planted Israel. He planted Israel, "has pronounced evil and calamity against you because of the evil which the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done against themselves and provoking me to anger by offering incense to Baal." And in Romans 11, let's look over there real quick. Do I have time to share all this? All right. I've got until 12:15 at least. Romans chapter 11, verse 1 says, "I ask then, has God totally rejected and disowned his people?" He's talking about Israel, his people. "Of course not. Why, I myself," this is Paul talking here, "I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin." No, God has not rejected and disowned his people, whose destiny he had marked out and appointed and foreknown from the beginning. "Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? He says, 'Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left and seek my life.' But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant, a small believing minority, selected, chosen by grace, by God's unmerited favor and graciousness. But if it is by grace, it is no longer conditioned on works or anything men have done, i.e. the law. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. It would be meaningless. What then shall we conclude? Israel failed to obtain what it sought. They were trying to obtain righteousness through their works of the law, through their ordinances, through their rituals, through their religion. Israel failed to obtain what it sought, God's favor by obedience to the law. Only the elect, the chosen few, obtained it, while the rest of them became callously indifferent, blinded, hardened, and made insensible to it. As it is written, God gave them a spirit or an attitude of stupor, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear, that has continued down to this very day. And that is for today. That blindness that Israel suffers from has continued through today because they don't recognize Jesus the Christ as the Messiah. They are still waiting for a Messiah. And David says, let their table, their feasting banqueting, become a snare and a trap, a pitfall, and a just retribution, rebounding like a boomerang upon them. Let their eyes be dark and dim so that they cannot see, and make them bend their backs, stooping beneath the burden forever. So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall to their utter spiritual ruin irretrievably? This is important to understand. By no means. But through their false step and transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles, to us. We are Gentiles. We were not born Jewish, unless you're Jewish. We are Gentiles. But salvation has come to us because of the false step of Israel. And listen, I'll just put a little plug in here for the class coming up on the 24th. We're going to get into a lot of this in detail. We're going to understand the time clock that God had and how Israel, you know, was a chosen people moving in a direction. I think Louise Brock was the first one that introduced me to this analogy that has really made sense to me. And maybe I need to make a clock. But she said there's this clock, right? And the hands are going. And let's just say 12 o'clock is the sought after time. So Israel's progressing towards this 12 o'clock, right? And if they get to 12 o'clock, that's like the fulfillment of all. But their time clock stopped. And we're going to get into the 70 weeks of Daniel. They stopped on the 69th week. The time of Israel stopped. And the church age took over. And at the consummation of the church age is when that last week, it's called a week of years, that last 7 years will take place. And that's known as the tribulation or Jacob's trial. Jacob being Israel, Israel's trial. You see, they will go, Israel was a chosen people. Then they were blinded to the Messiah coming, so the church age took over. And then the tribulation must happen, and then the millennial kingdom will come. The millennial reign will come. And we'll go into, if you have any interest at all in what I just mentioned, we'll go into great detail on Wednesday nights. So just plan to attend. So Israel, but here the word says Israel has not been, they're not irretrievable. Verse 12, it says, now if their stumbling, their lapse, their transgression has so enriched the world at large, and if Israel's failure means such riches for the Gentiles, think what an enrichment and greater advantage will follow their full reinstatement. But now I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles, as much then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I lay great stress on my ministry and magnify my office in the hope of making my fellow Jews jealous. You see, Paul magnified Christ, magnified his office as apostle. Why? Not to build himself up. He just said it there, to make his fellow Jews jealous. Why? Not to rub it in their face, to bring them enlightenment about the Christ, about the Messiah. For in their rejection and exclusion from the benefits of salvation were overruled for the reconciliation of a world to God, what will their acceptance and admission mean? It will be nothing short of life from the dead. We serve a God that can bring dead things back to life. If you've got dead things in your life, He can resurrect them. Now, some things need to die and stay dead. And that's dying to self and living for God. But if there are things of God, God has shown you or revealed to you things, or whether it be in dreams or visions or an audible word or just a sensation, that inner voice speaking to you, and that thing has died, He can resurrect that back into your life. Verse 16, now if the first handful of dough offered as the first fruits, meaning Abraham and the patriarchs, is consecrated or holy, which the Israeli people are. They were. They're the chosen race. So is the whole mass, the nation of Israel. And if the root, Abraham, is consecrated holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches, listen to this, if some of the branches were broken off, while you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and sap of the olive tree. Do not boast over the branches. We do not ascribe to replacement theology. We are not replacing Israel as the chosen people. We're not. Do not boast over the branches and pride yourselves at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say then, branches were broken or pruned off so that I might be grafted in. That is true, but they were broken and pruned off because of their unbelief. Because of their what? Their lack of real faith. And you are established through faith, because you do believe. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid. Reverential fear. It's not scared fear. Reverential fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, neither will He spare you if you are guilty of the same offense. Of what? Unbelief. Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you, provided you continue in His grace and abide in His kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off and pruned away. And even those others, the fallen branches, the Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. God can raise dead things to life. For if you've been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and against nature grafted into or cultivated a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches, Israel, back into the original parent stock of their own olive tree? Wow, let me just finish this up. Where was I? 25. Lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceits, I do not want you to miss this hidden truth and mystery. Brethren, a hardening and insensibility has temporarily befallen a part of Israel to last until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come, until the fullness of the church age. God has hardened them. He's blinded them until the full age of the church, until all the souls, the saint, become saints that are supposed to. And guess who has an obligation, a duty, a responsibility to help fulfill that? We do. You and I. We have a responsibility to see all those souls come into the kingdom before the church age can wrap up. Till the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. That is, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, And this will be my covenant, my agreement with them, when I shall take away their sins. From the point of view of the gospel, the good news, they, the Jews at present, are enemies of God, which is for your advantage and benefit. But from the point of view of God's choice of election, of divine selection, they are still the beloved, dear to Him, for the sake of their forefathers. For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. God called the Jewish nation. He called them. He gifted them. They are His chosen people. And that's without repentance. He cannot go back on His word. They're irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. That's just, when we say you have a call on your life, whether you're anointed to lead worship or anointed with the kids in the back, there are people that are anointed to work with kids. I'm sorry. There just are people that are anointed to work with kids. I don't know why I said I'm sorry. There are people that are anointed and gifted to lead worship. There are people that are anointed and gifted to preach. There are people anointed and gifted to encourage others. That call, once you receive it, He's not going to take it away from you. He's not going to take it away from you. That call will be with you until the end of time. For the God's gifts and His calls are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given, and He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call. He doesn't change His mind. You know, Todd, you were doing a bang-up job last year, but this year, man, you have fallen down. I'm going to take that call from you. No, He doesn't take it. He doesn't take it back. He doesn't change His mind. Now, we can change. Make no mistake. We can change. We can fall down. We can walk away. But He hasn't changed His mind at all. Just as you were once disobedient, rebellious towards God, but now have obtained His mercy through their disobedience, talking about Israel and us, so they also now are being disobedient. When you are receiving mercy, that they in turn may one day, through the mercy you are enjoying, also receive mercy, that they may share the mercy which has been shown to you through you as messengers of the gospel to them. You see, when that veil was rent in two when Jesus died, it says the wall of partition was removed. It was removed between us and God, but also between us and the Jewish nation. We were no longer outsiders. I'm talking about Gentiles. But now, through the blood of Jesus, we are one with the Jewish nation in Christ. Do y'all see that? I only have four more pages that we're not going to get to today. I'm sorry. We'll have to take it up another day. But I hope that you are getting a picture. You know, I went as a young child to church in the Methodist Church. And I vaguely remember, you know, things that were shared in the Methodist Church there where we went. And then for reasons I'll share later at another date, we stopped going, probably when I was around 11, 12. And never outside of Christmas and Easter step foot in the church again. I would take my grandmother sometimes. When I started to drive, she lived not too far from us, and she would love when I would come to church with her, so I endeavored to do that. I didn't do it enough. I wish I'd have done it more, but I did it some. And so I had no relationship with God. I had no church background to speak of. And so when I came to Christian Growth Center, because this beautiful woman asked me, and of course, what am I going to do? Yeah. I'm going to go with you anywhere. It changed my life. I don't know what her... I think she just liked me. I don't know what her intentions were. Maybe she just wanted to see me born again, but I think she just liked me. But it changed my life. That invitation changed my life forever. But each one of you have that ability within you to change someone's life forever. I would not be where I am right now had someone not invited me to church. And I'm not saying church is the answer here. I'm just saying us talking to people about the things of God. But I would not be where I am right now had someone not invited me. I mean, God was working on me. Listen, I'm not going to say that, you know, it was all Nikki. God was working on me. He was doing some. I mean, I was seeking. And there are people seeking every single day, waiting for the invitation. Waiting for the invitation. That's kind of like here, you know, we can put out we need help in the back all we want. But most people aren't going to volunteer unless you ask them specifically. Sometimes you need to ask. Sometimes you need to invite. Because you don't know whose life you're going to change. You don't know what impact you're going to make on them by exposing them to the things of God. And that's really all you're responsible for. You're not responsible to change their mind. She wasn't responsible to change my mind. All she did was give me an opportunity to change my mind, to let the Spirit of God work on me, the Holy Spirit work on me and change me. You're not responsible other than to share. That's all. And we make it so hard. We put such barriers on that because of fear. Because of fear of rejection. Fear of what people will think of us. Fear that we'll lose some friends. Oh, it's quiet in this place. So let me encourage you. I believe that by the Holy Spirit, you will be emboldened to talk to people, to witness to people, to share with people. Just share your life. Some of us are so closed in and guarded, we don't even share the things of our life with people. But I believe by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be renewed to some things about sharing the good news. It's good news. It's good news to tell someone they don't have to go to a place called hell, because hell is real and it's eternal punishment, eternal, forever and ever and ever. And why wouldn't we want to reach in and grab someone and pull them from that? Or at least give them the opportunity to change, to make a change. So let me just reiterate what Pastor Brian said. Have faith for a change. Have faith for a change. And help bring change to someone else's life. During this season, you know, God appoints times, moeds, seasons. There are times, and I believe that this season of Easter, of Resurrection Sunday, is a time where people's hearts are softened. So I encourage all of you, share. Just share. Just share. And let God do the work. Right? He sent out the disciples and said, the Lord working with them. They weren't doing the work. He was working with them. Let the Lord work with you and share the good news. And then watch our atmosphere change. Amen? Well, glory to God. I think we all can believe for souls to come into the kingdom of God. Because if we're not here to impact lives, to increase the kingdom, to share the love of God, then why? Then why? And I encourage you, ask yourself that. Why? Why? Because I do all the time. All the time. I love you guys. I love you so much. But God loves you more. Don't ever forget that. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to die for you personally. I love what Pastor Rob used to always say, and probably still does. He had your name on his mind when he went to the cross. Had your name on his mind. So, Father, thank you for the words that have gone forth today. I pray that they have entered the hearts of the people and that they will be planted and rooted, firmly grounded in our heart, and that it will grow. It will come to fruition. And we will have boldness and courage to go out and share the good news of Jesus to a lost and dying world that needs it every day. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody. And what better way to encourage someone than with the news that there's a Savior for them. Someone who can save them from hell. Translate them into the kingdom of light. Eternal. Life for all. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.